Good evening. I'd like to call to order the December 3rd Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. Now we'll turn it over to Mr. Woods for a roll call.
Chair Hale.
Here.
Commissioner Sedaris.
Present.
Mr. Crowley.
Here.
Mr. Munoz.
Present.
And let the record show that Commissioner Mahan and Commissioner O'Toole are absent.
Okay. To start things off tonight, I'd like to ask if there are any commissioner reports or announcements to be made this evening. Okay. Anyone have any holiday updates to share? Why don't we, I think Mr. Woods has probably the details on a few events coming up.
Yes, I would love to share with the audience and commission that tomorrow is the Light of Boat Parade, or Saturday is the Light of Boat Parade, and it starts at 6:30, obviously in the bay, along the Embarcadero. And if you can make it down there, go down there early, get a good spot, and enjoy the boat parade. On Sunday, the holiday tree lighting is happening at City Park. Festivities start at 4:30. We invite the entire community, all your friends and family. Come on out. We've got the refreshments. We've got some great entertainment from the high school choir. I believe there's going to be a special visit from a special guy in a red suit from the North Pole. So bring the kids out. Bring the family out. City Park, Morro Bay, this Sunday, starts at 4:30. Thanks.
Thank you. The boat parade's a lot of fun. Okay, turning to item A, our consent calendar. Is anyone interested to pull any of the action items, A1, A2, A3, or A4, for discussion?
I'd like to pull A4.
Okay. Any others?
No.
Okay, so we'd like to pull A4 and turn it back over to Mr. Woods to give us an update. This is the Recreation and Parks Department status report, where we're provided with a number of updates about current programs and projects in progress, and some that we'd like to see in progress.
Good evening, Chair Hale and Commission. If I could ask Commissioner Munoz if there's an item within A4 that he'd like me to discuss, or should I try to touch base on each item?
I was just more interested in the pool study.
Okay. As you know, the pool project, the Aquatic Center, has been a topic of discussion for quite some time now. We have three entities that have come together. That is the county parks, City of Morro Bay, and the district. We all came together for a meeting sponsored by the Board of Supervisors, Bruce Gibson, and that was on October the 28th. We basically had a very dynamic conversation regarding the content of the phone survey, which is the first phase of the feasibility study or marketing study. And as you recall, this is the one that if we get through phase one successfully, we'll go into phase two, and this is where your recommendation has been approved by City Council to forward $15,000 to Park and Lou to help subsidize the phase two. But phase one is the final criteria for the survey has been set. After that meeting, we bantered around all the content, and what you have in front of you is the end result. There are 14 questions, if you will, or topics of questions to get the best results, and answers to these questions we are hoping is the same as the results of the survey, so we can really get a good idea of how we proceed. So I'm hoping just the discussion has answered some questions. If not, I'd be happy to do more follow-up.
Okay, so when will the phone study be performed? Is there a date for that?
We don't have a hard date. Okay. For the survey. This happened, about a week or two ago, mm-hmm. 2 weeks ago, we finalized this list. So I would imagine with the holiday, they're either going to be punching it before the holidays, which hopefully they will be. If not, then if it's not within the next week or two, then it's probably going to be in January. But I will definitely mm-hmm. do some follow-up and see where we're at the next time we meet.
And when the questions are finalized, will there be like a, can they go on, people go on like our website to kind of get an idea of what the questions will be and what the choices are? Because like five, like you say, that's got quite a few. Because I know a lot of people really can't. I know, like myself, if you called me and asked me, do you want A, B, C, D, all the way through L, I'm like, what? So is there a way they can get a view of this beforehand?
You know, Commissioner Munoz, great idea, great question. I don't have the answer.
Okay.
But I would love to follow up with the group and say, hey, okay, once this thing's finalized and it starts to be administered through the community, we need a copy for our web page. And
yeah,
we'll do our
good
best to get one on there. That way folks can come through and, like I said, look at it, get familiar with it, and be ready for it.
Okay.
Definitely. So we will definitely have some follow-up for you, and the proof will be in our website. And hopefully when you frequent that, whenever you do, you'll see some information on this pool survey.
Yeah, because we can also bring it, like, on our staff report and announce it on our meeting. That way people know they can go on there and look at it at that time.
Okay. Terrific. Thank you very much.
Just another quick one. What was the rationale for doing a phone survey versus a phone and web-based or email-based survey?
I don't have the reasoning for you on that. It was the proposals that came in to the, I want to say the Pool of Morro Bay group, it was also the foundation. They all had this component of having a phone survey and some kind of an analysis at the beginning. And I think that the phone survey was probably the most readily available. Everyone's got a phone. The success is going to be a little bit higher, I would imagine. So those are some off the top of my head. I may be wrong, but I would anticipate there was some kind of a logic to get the phone survey out and back in as quick as possible, and that's probably the most rapid. As far as coverage, I don't know about the emails. The emails, obviously, you had to have some kind of base to go with, and not having that working off a phone database is probably a little bit more available.
Any other questions for Joe on the pool project? How about an update on the Del Mar Park Dog Park?
Commissioner Hale, the Del Mar off-leash dog area has been under construction now with the help of the Morro Bay Pups. They have been out there working the CCC crew. They've done all the posts. They've strung fencing and about 90% of the perimeter is all complete. About 95%. What's left to happen is the entranceway itself. There are four big timbers that go up, and they've got a loose canopy over the top of them, and they've got a nice sign designating this as the Jody Giannini Memorial Family Dog Park. So they're working with the sign. They've got furniture that's staged right now. It's been approved by the department and purchased. They have also purchased the receptacles and the mitt dispensers, so those are ready to go. We've had one meeting regarding the rules, and where I've brought out a nice list of rules for the dog park, and we're kind of working with the group to amend those so they're more practical. Big part of getting to the dog park, which is not open yet, is the walkway. And the walkway we have purchased, we paid for the first half of the walkway through the tennis court project, and the reason is because it's our project. But we have underground, we've got a French drain that goes in there. We had really to work on this walkway through from the basketball courts around the roller hockey rink. From that point, it's all asphalt. From that point forward to the dog park, it's just base right now. And the entranceway to the dog park is just base, and it will be asphalted at the conclusion of the tennis court project. And you'll see off-leash dog park opens up. That'll be a spot for them.
So there's no date right now in terms of official?
We don't have a hard date because there's been some trouble with getting supplies and getting them out there, and the work's been – the CCCs, they're pulled everywhere. They're in high demand. And so when the supplies weren't there – And this group, it was, it didn't get done until they're working with the group. They're getting close. So I would say, like I said, in a couple of weeks we should have this thing ready, but not a hard date. Sorry. Any other questions regarding anything else in A4?
I have a question on the Teen Advisory Committee.
Yes, sir.
I know that wasn't kind of advertised too much unless the kids were at the teen center and noticed the flyers up. So just as an FYI, is that going to meet? I notice in here it says monthly, but is it the third Thursday of every month or whenever they find a day and time to meet? Is there anything set yet?
Commissioner Munoz, another terrific question. The Teen Advisory Committee will meet again in January. Okay. I talked with staff. They're having a hard time getting the group together now that we're getting at the end of school and the holidays and things are happening. They are targeting January for a teen-only meeting. In our first meeting, we kind of agreed that every other month it would be a full committee meeting, and then the odd months, just the teens would meet. And the idea is to have the teens create something that's theirs and not have it being spoon-fed from adults. So we're hoping that they can generate more ideas on their own. We will take in consideration the fact that maybe more publicity needs to happen, and we'll do a little bit more for our January meeting, try to get more folks involved. And then the adult and the advisors and everything else that goes along with this Teen Advisory Committee will be back and forth in February. We'll meet and we'll get more information out, hopefully through the TAC on that.
Very good.
So we had a good meeting, though. A good showing. We had about 25 folks at the meeting. All students, parents, and a few folks that didn't have any kids were there. And we had Councilman Smuckler there, which was good. So I think we've got some good community buy-in, and just a matter of just keeping the momentum.
Yeah. Was there fundraising or there? I think they had a booth at the Merchants Fair. Was it successful to do?
The booth at the Merchants Fair was terrific. The association gave us a booth at no cost.
Oh,
we sold beanies that were donated, and we sold planters that were donated. Total net for the day was $180.
That's great.
So it was, and we were selling the beanies for $5, and it was really, and there was, we didn't sell any planters, but it was pretty good showing for what we had and the price that were there. That was marked. So we're looking forward to doing more of those kind of sales, definitely.
Yeah. Great, thank you.
And where does that money go to? Does it go back to the teen center or the $180 they raised?
It's a good question. It goes directly into a 515 account, which is the Teen Advisory Trust Fund, if you will. So it's an account that doesn't expire at the end of the fiscal year, but it's used. The teens make the money, goes into the teen account, and whatever they spend comes right out. So there's a direct relationship with the program.
I'm just curious what types of things they use the money for.
Well, they're gonna need to use the money to probably to buy more goods when they do concession stands, over at the softball diamond when they do the tournament snack bar, they're gonna buy some stuff at the snack bar. They're gonna get paid back. They've got field trips that they want to sponsor. They can raise money for that. They definitely want to contribute to the general fund. The cost recovery for the teen program is, I believe it's, I want to say 60% or 40%. Mm-hmm. The dollar amount we looked at, and they're interested in raising monies to offset the cost. Mm-hmm. And the overall bill right now is $60,000 for the teen center, and then we would work off of whatever percentages are in cost recovery.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any other questions, items related to the department status report? Okay, can I entertain a motion to approve A1 through A4?
I'd make a motion to accept items A1 through A4 for file.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay. Moving on to item B, public hearing. Actually, I didn't identify the public comment period, which, noticing that there's no one in the audience, that wasn't a huge blunder. Could have been a lot worse.
You could open and close now if you'd like to.
So, okay, public hearings. Noticing once again that no one is in the audience.
Money has been used up until this point. Our deadline to complete this project is March the 31st, 2012. So that date is correct. The date to complete it for the grant monies. We had talked about this earlier. That was a typo. It's not a typo. The project needs to be completed and submitted as final to the state to retain the 20% of the grant that they hold on to until it's complete. So after the state had froze the money, the project kind of went stale. We worked a little bit with Verity Design to get the bid documents as close as possible to go out to bid. Recently, the state freed up the money, and with their freeing up the money, spurred staff to get this project up and running and built. We reviewed the financials on this particular project. We have concluded that expenditures to date have been $28,000, and of that $28,000, we're looking to recuperate our match, which is 70%. So what we've done, which goes out tomorrow to the state, which is a status report on the project. Every 6 months, we fill out a status report of what's happened at this project level. Now we've added the construction of the walkway, or part of the walkway. So we're looking to be reimbursed. So this will be our first request for reimbursements. We're hoping the state is willing to cut us a check. And once we see that flow coming, it'll be a little bit more self-assuring, or a little bit more a little more confident as we go out and bid this. And the timeline I have to build the tennis courts is on page 2 under discussion. After talking with Dylan Wade, our capital improvement projects manager, and staff, we've concluded that this particular timeline is very reasonable. Timeline to complete this project. And the bid package, though it is very close, it is not finalized. We have a project improvement group meeting next week. That's an internal group that meets, reviews the permits and everything that staff needs to do to take this thing out to bid. And we feel that we can take this out to bid in January with about a month and a half of reviewing and then going to City Council for their review and their award of the contract, which we've targeted in March. April, we'd like to start construction, and in June, the project would be scheduled to be completed, and with all things going well, opening the doors for tennis July 1. So the project, obviously, it's been identified as part of the master plan. The funding is in place, and staff is diligently working on getting this complete. And we're hoping that we can do so without the funds being dried up. So that concludes my report, the update for the tennis courts at Del Mar. I'd be happy to answer any questions. If there isn't any, we're just looking to have the commission accept this for file.
One question. How many courts will there be?
There will be two courts. Your master plan had four courts, and we amended the master plan when we built the basketball court and the roller hockey rink and just recently with the dog park. So they do get changed through the process, but right now we're scheduled for two soft courts.
Okay, thanks. Any other questions?
No.
Comment?
I'm glad to see the timeline is up so soon. There's a lot of people that have been waiting for this for quite a few years. So it's really great, and I hope the everything kind of rolls along so that we can meet that date of July. I know there's a lot of people looking forward to that. So it's great work.
Thanks. Well, there's been a lot of work that's been done up to this date, and I would say I appreciate those before me that handled this project to this point, and hopefully we can take the ball and finish it up for the community.
Great. Can I entertain a motion to accept C1 for file?
I'll second.
I need to get actually a motion.
Oh.
Motion to accept C1 for
a
file.
Motion happy. I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, moving on to item D, new business. We have a few items here. First is to cover D1, public restroom beautification and improvements.
Thank you and good evening, Chair Hale, Commission again. This item was brought to you as a future agenda item from the previous meeting. And instead of staff waiting to get back to you when we had a little bit more, we thought we would just come in at the block wall. It runs down there. There's just enough room for the pipes and the valves that go in it. So to modify that into a coin-op warm water dispenser, very cost prohibitive. I think you'd have to tear out the entire wall and rebuild it. And to me, that would be something that we would not want to do. So we looked at some other options, and there are other options. And I will give you some hope that as the water supply leaves the plumbing chase and goes through the walls and out to the exterior, before it leaves the plumbing chase, we could condition the water there with an inline water heater, electric. Realize what I just said. Behind the wall, in the plumbing chase, and it goes through. So really would be, to get a coin op, be very difficult in the same location as the controls for the rinse off. Like if you go to the harbor restroom or the Tidelands Park restroom, you're in the shower stall, you drop your quarters just outside, you click it and you walk in, there's the shower. Not the case in the rinse off, the coin op, or the, it would be somewhere totally different.
How far would it need to be? I mean, what are the options? Because people will go a long way for warm water.
That's and
miles.
I say coin op only because there's an implied there's an implication that we would want to recuperate the cost of warming the water.
Mm-hmm.
If there isn't, and you just put a inline water heater in the plumbing chase, and the three rinse offs that are fed now all become warm or lukewarm or whatever temperature we set it at, there would be no cost recovery. And that's something that if we want to subsidize, right now we're subsidizing, obviously, the water and the electricity to some point. But do you want to continue with a higher electrical bill and allow the community to have a warm rinse off? So we could do it, but you would lose some of the costs because it'd be hard to recuperate them.
Just because where the coin operated part would have to
hook
be
it up.
Physically located, is that the constraint?
If you hook it up, if we don't use a coin op, it's going to be a free rinse off that's warm water. If we want to recuperate some of the costs, then we want to put it in a coin op and let users pay for a set amount of time, 2 minutes, 50 cents, whatever it is. And the location of that controller needs to be close to the valves because it's a solenoid. When it's triggered, it's going to open up the valve. So there's going to be significant wiring or just significant construction to rehab what's there. But what we want to do is we want to get in a couple of three or four different scenarios that actually, yes, this will work, yes, or no, it won't work.
Great. And is there any other way to collect money than having a coin dispenser just to throw out?
There could be.
I mean...
We haven't looked at all the details.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't want to step on you, but yeah, we haven't looked at all the details. I wanted to let you know that, yes, there's a possibility of getting a warm shower out there. We could probably do it within a week. I have an inline water heater. If we want to put it out there and give people warm showers, we could do that. That's something that I don't want to jump into right now because we are trying to tighten our belts on utility bills across the board, water and electricity, everything. We did a major energy audit, and we're tightening up on the water. And to turn around and put in an electric water heater that's unlimited right now might not be the best thing that we do.
What about solar? I assume you have looked at that, or will we?
We will look at that, definitely. So we have it not in this report. So that was why it's up for discussion. So I'm writing some notes here. Solar is something that we can bring back.
And it could be possible, if that's an option, to seek some donation for hardware and so forth. We have a lot of solar companies locally now.
Mm-hmm. We do. So hopefully we can get a little bit more comprehensive plan for you to say A, B, C, and D. Here's some options. This is what we researched with these. And what do you think? And you can give us some feedback on that. And we can move on. As far as the beautification goes, and other, not just the rock, but all across the Embarcadero, there's 5 restrooms on Embarcadero, and there's 5 out there in the parks, 6. And we do an annual renovation. It happens generally in February, March. As you know, we're going to be doing this building in January. We do other offices at the end of January and February. Then we get into the public restrooms. We generate a list. There's generally some painting involved. There's some, hopefully some structure repair, some big rinse downs. There's, overall cleaning. I've made some suggestions. They haven't gone too far with staff. But I'd be open to any suggestions you might have other than the basics. You just scrub it inside and out. We're going to do that. We're going to paint them, you bet. There isn't any one person or any one identified group that vandalizes public restrooms. They come in all shapes and sizes. So whatever we do, we want to make sure that we're vandal resistant and we're safe with what we put in. That's why you don't see a whole lot of amenities that are in public restrooms. But I'm willing to try if you've got some good ideas for me.
I mean, I would think that there would be other communities that have the same challenges. I mean, I think a soap dispenser, again, comes to mind, like just in terms of, we're talking about H1N1. I mean, right, we're trying to spread disease or stop the spread of disease. I just wonder if there aren't other communities that have figured out how to not make a rip-offable soap dispenser, and if we shouldn't or couldn't look into, other solutions that people have put in place to help address things getting taken from public restrooms. That's kind of the area that I would be interested in. I mean, I like that we don't have paper towels for waste. I like that. I think that's not a necessity, but it feels like just being able to wash your hands with soap is a good idea.
I agree.
I would concur, too. I would definitely agree. I think everyone agrees with that. And so let us really put our minds to this and find something that's going to work. Sometimes they're behind the wall, and
right,
something comes through and you can dispense there, and that might be applicable at half the restrooms, maybe not the other half. We have behind the wall hand dryers now at Centennial, and maybe the same kind of concept could be used at the other places. So we will certainly look at trying to keep things uniform and accessible and try to meet the needs here. Your soap dispenser is something that's, we've struggled with soap dispensers and hand towels for a lot of years. It's been tough. And I would love to put in, air fresheners and a nice, I'd put in carpet if I could. But it's not practical sometimes. So we'll come back to you with a list of what we've got going on and try to address your soap dispensers and then the warm showers as well. The warm, I should say, rinse-off. I want to be careful I don't say showers. It's a rinse-off. Anything else that the commission would want to bring to us? Commissioner Sedaris, do you have any suggestions on our beautification project?
No, I think it's looking pretty good.
Okay. We are, we'll bring the list back. It will include our annual stuff and some of the things that you've mentioned. If anything comes up between now and then, feel free to contact the office. We'll include it in our list. So then you'll be able to review that in the February meeting.
And I would say just in terms of prioritization, obviously, we know the rock restroom is, it's probably 100-fold the traffic of another park restroom. So it's like I think, uniformity makes sense, but really in terms of where the emphasis and investment and priority should be, it should be on the heavily trafficked restrooms.
And they hold surf competitions there too. So there's another added thing, interest.
Thank you. Okay. Can we review? Can I get a motion to review and accept for file D1?
Motion to accept
D1 for file.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Moving on to item D2, discussion of the possibility of canceling our January 7th, 2010 Record Parks Commission meeting.
Chair Hale and Commission, this item is brought to you on two different reasons. One is it's our policy that we cannot cancel one of our meetings unless we've done so at a regularly scheduled meeting. So no longer we get a phone survey saying, are we going to meet or not? It has to be done at the previous meeting. That's our big reason. The reason why we brought this cancellation to you is because the annual renovation of the Vets Hall happens in January. We closed the community center down for the last 2 weeks in December, and then we rolled the crew over here and we started working on the Vets Hall. You'll note in your discussion section that the Harbor Advisory Board will be considering the cancellation at tonight's meeting, which is just after yours. And the Planning Commission has requested a location change. They do have topics they want to talk about, and so they'll be meeting at the Community Center on January the 4th. So you do have an option here. I'm not advocating either way. If you want to consider canceling the January meeting, that will be fine. If you feel that there are some urgent topics that we have to get through in January, I'd be willing to listen to you. So I would be interested in putting it back to the commission for discussion on either cancellation or relocation of the January meeting. Thank you.
Discussion?
I think if we don't have a lot of items, especially unfinished business and new business,
December the 14th, which is a request to get CEC money for our energy audit and proceed with our energy recommendations. That's the only thing we have pending with council. So there's no other public hearings that I have. And I thought maybe this is an opportunity that if we don't have a whole lot, we can get a bit of a reprieve, let maintenance come in, do their thing, and then pick it up in February. We will most likely, between now and then, generate something that's public hearing. But I think that if you're worried about really overloading the February meeting, I think that's not the case. A couple of things, if they're just updates and discussion items, they can certainly be rolled over to March. So I think we're not going to – we certainly wouldn't burden you with a three-hour meeting in February.
Well, because we also have to think about the Harbor Advisory Board, because that was one of the not stipulations, but one of the things we agreed on by moving the meeting to Thursdays before their meeting was to try to have ours between an hour and a half. Give us time to get on them, time to set up, so that we need to, you know, think about that also.
There's two things that's we've done, and I'm glad you brought that up. Two things we've done. We've instituted this the consent calendar, which has definitely expedited our meeting time. And the other is when we run into the 7 o'clock hour, the two-hour mark, it's because we probably have two public hearings. And staff will certainly try to minimize the public hearings to one. And the public hearings, they haven't been as formal. We've had people come in and they spoke presentations longer maybe than what we've anticipated, only because we're always willing to listen. We've been very, very flexible with that. But we can sort of clamp down on public hearing presentations, and I can certainly start timing them. So I think that we could be a little more regimented if we had to get out of here within an hour and a half, if we had a heavy agenda. But I'm not anticipating that for February.
Okay. So anyone else have any thoughts or questions about canceling the January 7th meeting?
I don't see it as a problem if there's nothing pressing.
I don't see a problem with canceling.
Okay. So I guess I'd look for a motion to approve.
Go ahead.
Canceling the January 7th.
Move to approve canceling the January 7th meeting.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? None.
May I add something, Commissioner Hale, Chair Hale? This might be a nice chance for our ad hoc committee to get together within the next, between now and our February meeting, really have something for you. I'm going to be addressing that. I believe it was in the status and we didn't talk about it, but I would like to really get a little further down the path with the ad hoc committee, and I think that not having a commission in January will allow us to do that. Hopefully we'll have a nice report for you when it comes in February.
Great.
Thanks.
Okay, moving on to item E, Declaration of Future Agenda Items.
Can we go back to D?
Sorry, D3. Sorry, we have program evaluations to cover. So I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you, and thanks, Commission, for your patience and all my presentations this evening. The last two items that I have for you are D3 program evaluations. These two are from our Recreation Sports Supervisor, Karen Sweeney. And the first I'd like to talk about is the 2009 Fall Adult Softball League. The Fall League is held March through July. It's three nights of play, four divisions. We've got Co-Ed 1, Co-Ed 2, Masters over 50, and a Men's D1 League, 26 teams. Expenses for the program total $14,927, and the revenues total $14,675. There's a net loss of $2,200 and some change. Cost recovery 85%. Our target cost recovery for this merit service is between 70 and 79%. We have covered that cost by about a little over, 5-6% over. One of the recommendations that I like to bring to light to the commission tonight is number 7, which is we are considering reducing the number of games from 12 to 10. This will do two things. It will reduce the cost of the program, obviously, and we feel that the price would not change. We've polled other leagues throughout the county, and the number of games and the price that we're anticipating is right with
that. We have three nights
yes.
to play? Okay.
So the fall is actually held August through November.
Thank you.
And we'd like to see it August through October. We'll keep you updated as that comes around. Any other questions I can answer regarding the Adult Softball League?
Is that 26 teams? Is that a pretty good turnout? I don't know. Is that average?
Yes.
Oh, it is? Okay.
We dropped a night. We had three nights of play. We used to have four nights of play. The teams has dropped down a little bit. And that's why on your participation report, you'll see those numbers drop. And we've been telling you that they've dropped because we lost a night of play. And this is where we lost a night of play in the softball. It's only three nights, not four.
Okay. Thanks.
The next program evaluation I have is the 2009 Estero Bay Youth Soccer Program. And pretty exciting league this time around. The league was held in March through November. We had 142 boys and girls that were playing in the ages from 4 to 14. We play under 8s and under 6s, under 10s and under 12s. We play both in Morro Bay, and we play games in Los Osos and Cambria and Templeton. The older kids do. We hosted the under 10 girls team end of the season tournament at Morro Elementary. We managed two fields there, and we had about 13 games. I don't know if any commissioners were there, but I stopped by. It was great to see all the color and all the teams that were out there, and it was well organized and staff did a really good job. Several teams throughout the year participated in the Cal Poly Soccer Buddies program. And terrific program. Cal Poly has a nice community outreach, and we locked in with them. We've included some pictures. We've sent some pictures to council on Friday updates. But you can look in the back of your report. You'll see that we've got some of the kids in their Estero Bay reversible jerseys at Cal Poly Night. And those are the boys under 10. And we had, at halftime, they went out and played a little game, which is the kids just have a ball doing it. Our Halloween soccer was on Halloween Day. We had soccer games, and the kids dressed up in costume. And there's pictures of them in costume, which is extremely adorable. So we had a couple of injuries throughout the program. Nothing was serious. Our expenses for the program totaled $12,422. Our revenues from registrations, $11,495. Net loss, just under $1,000. Cost recovery, 93%. This is a merit program. Cost recovery target is 70 to 79%. So our 93% is in good standings. We have various recommendations. The big thing is we want to continue teaming up with Cal Poly and the Buddies program. I think it's just exciting and fun. And the kids get great exposure. And I think it works both ways. I think the Poly folks enjoy young kids coming to the campus, and I think the kids love going there. And then we're also going to continue working with doing the Halloween costume. I'll mention one thing. To address the uneven fields at Lila Kaiser, it's on this recommendation, is something that we are doing. We were looking for the $70,000 for the rehab of Kaiser. Once hopefully the state will approve our project, we're going to come back and do a major field overhaul. We buzz it down, we thatch it, we level it, do some reseeding as well. So major work, and fingers crossed that the state will help fund that for us. So that's exciting. And that concludes my report on the youth soccer. Certainly entertain any questions at this time.
Well, how old is that field? And was the damage just by erosion or just natural settling of the?
Gophers mostly.
Gopher, okay.
A lot of gopher trouble out there.
Okay, that answers my question. Thank you.
we're trying to address the gophers. They're tough to keep on top of.
I know.
But we're hoping that we've done something to give us a little bit of reprieve that we can go in and work on the fields and not have them destroyed the next day. So
gophers are an act of God.
It's tough. But you got a good crew working out there, and they're working hard, and we're doing the best we can to keep up with them. And you'll see that the tree committee was out there, put a bunch of trees in. And if we get the money from the state, it'll be new bleachers, new scoreboards, work on the turf, some new foul poles, and some fencing and some other issues that hopefully will help facilitate the Little League. Because we'd like to open up two fields for Little League and then two fields for softball. And
I'll make a motion to accept D3 for file.
I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay. Moving on to E, declaration of future agenda items. Does anyone have an agenda item they'd like to add to the February or March meeting?
Can I request an update from the Estero Bay Youth Coalition? They have done a lot of work for our community as far as they got us to obtain smoke-free beaches, and I just haven't heard from them in a while. I'm curious what they're up to these days.
Certainly, if that's the commission's agreed to put that on, I would certainly want to bring that back.
Sounds reasonable.
Okay. I just want to make a comment that I did meet with the principal, Jan Gould, last joint facility use committee meeting with the district. She's involved in that, and we discussed that at the end, just her and I, a little informal, what the EBYC was doing now, and she seemed to imply that they were looking for some projects and a little bit of direction. Mm-hmm. So this might be something that, and I talked with staff earlier today about things that they might be looking into. So I'm hoping that an update will be refreshing for the both of us, so yeah. I think we'll get something in there.
Another one I might put on the agenda that we talked about last time, and maybe this is something that would be more appropriate for the March or April agenda, was just the topic we had about recycling kids' club blue shirts. And maybe we just time this with summer, when obviously a new crew of kids come in from both the local area and outside of the area, or I should say extended area, not just Morro Bay, to participate in the kids' summer program, and see if we can't just get an update or some discussion around recycling blue shirts, so folks don't necessarily have to buy that out of pocket, and we can put that those shirts to back and recirculate them instead of sending them in the garbage or sending them off to Goodwill that really can't be used for the program. Anyone? Sound reasonable?
Yeah, sounds reasonable.
Okay. Any other items?
Could we also agendize possibly looking at changing the day and time of our meetings, only because sometimes it seems like you know, it's kind of hard to get a quorum, and some of us arrive late, so sometimes the day and time might not make a difference, you know, but I'd like to bring it up for discussion.
Yep.
I'm seeing a lot of nods saying yes, yes, yes. 5 o'clock's tough. I understand that. It hasn't been that long since, and we've been meeting at 5. I mean, it's been 7, it's been 6, it's been different days of the week as well. I certainly would be happy to bring you back a little history of when we've met before and the times, and maybe some future availability. Like, Mondays are not good for you to meet in the evening because we've got Planning Commission and City Council. So we'll be able to research that for you, bring you some holes in the schedule, some locations, and some times, and have a little discussion.
Yeah, probably a minimum of maybe 2 or 3 options would be probably be great. We could probably figure that out. Anything else?
No.
Okay, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second that.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Thank you.